everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Well, I have a great program for you today. It's all about understanding, identifying, and speaking up when you see or hear subtle acts of exclusion. My guest today is Dr. Michael Barron. Dr. Barron is a social scientist, senior partner, and digital solutions lead at Inquest Consulting. He draws on his own research in cultural anthropology and cognitive psychology to inform his current work on diversity, equity, and inclusion. He has taught at Harvard University and the University of Michigan and worked as a principal researcher at the American Institutes for Research. He is also the co-author of a new book called Subtle Acts of Exclusion: How to Understand, Identify, and Stop Microaggressions. For more information about Dr. Michael Barron or his new book, please go to subtleactsofexclusion.com. Well, welcome to the program, Dr. Barron. Great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Terry. Great to be here with you. And please call me Michael.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. And same, you can call me Terry.
Okay, thank you.
Well, first, tell us, Michael, a little bit about your background and what motivated you to work and write on issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Great question. So when I started getting fascinated and kind of horrified with seeing the injustice that still existed in this world and thinking about Why is it still this way after people have been fighting for so long for more equity? Why do we still have these sometimes explicit and sometimes subtle ways that people get included or excluded in the spaces of their lives? And so as I just got fascinated with all that, that's what drove me to study what I studied in graduate school. So getting my doctorate in cultural anthropology and really trying to figure out how that all happens by looking at the integration between culture, the cultural messages that surround us all, and brains, the way our brains develop from the youngest ages up through adulthood.
And it's so fascinating that you connect cultural anthropology to these subtle acts of exclusion. For me, that was surprising. Mm-hmm. So before we go a little further, then, can you define subtle acts of exclusion for listeners?
Yes, of course. So these are, you know, you might be familiar, listeners might be familiar with the term microaggressions. That's how these have often been called. Subtle acts of exclusion is a little bit of a broader way of talking about it and kind of a reframing and reconceptualization. And I can talk about that in a moment. But to define them briefly, it's those times when people aren't necessarily trying to do harm, aren't necessarily trying to do violence, aren't necessarily trying to exclude others. They might be trying to tell a joke, to ask a question, to bond with someone else, or maybe even to compliment someone else. And yet the impact of their words or actions is very different. So the impact is making people feel bad, not valued, not normal, excluded. And those are a big deal. Those examples, those subtle acts of exclusion continue to happen so frequently to people with marginalized identities and end up resulting in people being not satisfied in their work, if it's happening in their workplace. It causes mental stress and anxiety, mental health issues, even physical health issues. The research has been shown by these frequent subtle acts of exclusion.
And so even though these acts are unintentional, as you said, Michael, they do inflict harm and they do have effects on the other person.
Exactly. And, you know, there are many acts that people do that are intentional, that also, you know, there's a spectrum there. So some of them are intentional and cause harm to people. And then some really don't. They're really unintentional. And then there's a gray area, you know, where you're not quite sure what the intention was. But we're really, by subtle acts of exclusion, we're really talking about that part of the spectrum where they really are unintentional, or maybe it's a little gray.
And so what's the difference then between microaggressions and subtle acts of exclusion? You said that, you know, microaggressions are less broad. Is that it?
That's one part of it. But really what led to the reframing and the reconceptualization that I did with my co-author, Dr. Tiffany Jana, is we said, hey, okay, we know these microaggressions are a serious problem. We know they keep happening. And so, you know, we'd have workshops. I'd have workshops where I'd really try to delve into this with people. And I'd say, okay, you know, you call that Black man articulate. Like that's what we call a microaggression. And I'd get two different reactions to that. One reaction was, what are you talking about? I wasn't intending to be aggressive at all. You can't call that a microaggression if you don't know what the person was meaning to do, if you don't know what was in their head. So this extreme defensiveness that stops the conversation cold. And then on the other hand, we were really feeling like people were thinking that that term was framing the issue as not a big deal, as a micro, small problem. And that couldn't be further from the truth either. And so I had a list of brainstorming of possible reframes for a while, about a year. When I do presentations on this, I'd kind of grumble under my breath, like, someone's got to really think of a new term for this. And then eventually just thought,
that
well,
was
might,
you.
As well, might as well be me. And so I had a list going, got with Tiffany, and we said, okay, let's just call them what they are. They're subtle acts of exclusion. So first, they're subtle. They are. That's what makes it so they continue to happen, because they don't quite hit the threshold of, whoa, that was a really bad thing to say. I know I have to say something about that. I know I have to report that. But they're way more subtle. And they're acts. They're things people say and do. It's not about intention. It's not a judgment of your character. It's a thing you said and did, and we can talk about that productively. And then right in the term, we name the problem, exclusion. Exclusion in the moment, and also perpetuating systems, patterns of thinking, where people are continually excluded.
I like the reframing that you and Tiffany did and the new label of subtle acts of exclusion. And so what inspired you then to write an entire book on subtle acts of exclusion? And what's the goal of the book? Who should read it?
Well, first, everyone.
Absolutely, right, listeners, everyone.
Well, yeah, and I say that. I don't just say that, you know, cheekily. I mean, this is helpful for anyone who might have experienced these subtle acts of exclusion and maybe tried to speak up about it and the conversations haven't gone well, and so you're frustrated and resigned. If you want a new way to do it and a new language for doing it, that can help for those folks. If you are someone who maybe sees these happening or doesn't, and but wants to be an ally, wants to support people, wants to support Black people, people with disabilities, women, you know, gender minorities, people, millennials, older people. If you want to be an ally to really support the people in your life or at work, you need to be able to understand these things, because you might not even notice them if they're not happening to you, and to be able to speak about them productively. So allies need to read this book, potential allies. And then also, if you've ever thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that, ooh, that might not have been a great thing to say, or maybe you've gotten feedback that, you know, something you said excluded someone and could have been said in a better way, then also you need some guidelines for recognizing why these things are a big deal, how they play out, and how you can respond with grace to that feedback. It's so important that we all get on the same page so that we really do have more productive conversations about these things, rather than calling people out, you're racist, you're sexist, you're homophobic, and then it goes nowhere. we need to find ways to call people in, to really build authentic relationships across difference, to have conversations that are open and honest and vulnerable and real, and to get somewhere like when we haven't. Yeah, go ahead.
I like all of those roles, Michael. Absolutely. Let's start with the first role that you mentioned, speaking up first. How does someone spot these subtle acts of exclusion? And then how do we speak up when we witness the acts?
Yes. So if they are happening to you, then you probably don't need any help spotting them. You probably feel them, right? Exclusion feels bad. You know, some studies where they look at fMRI scans of brains and show that people, when they are excluded, the same parts of the brain light up as when you're in physical pain. It feels bad. And so it doesn't feel subtle, right? You get it. And so you don't necessarily need help spotting them, but so many people do. I mean, I've given talks about this to groups, for example, talking to predominantly male groups about how, for example, women get cut off more in meetings, or, you know, they might say an idea and don't get credit, but then a male says the same idea and gets the credit for it. And I say that, and the men go, wait, that doesn't really happen, does it? And turn to the women in the room and they go, are you kidding me? Like, yes, that happens, right?
So yes, it happens. As a female, I'll say yes too.
Right. So people need help seeing these things when they don't experience them. Or to give another example, one of the things I did getting ready to write this book and getting ready to create a digital e-learning program on it was I went around with a professional videographer and did over 100 interviews with people, asking them about the subtle acts of exclusion they experience. And one of those interviews was a blind man who was explaining, yeah, you know, when I'm walking down the hall at work, people, I can sense them kind of silently flattening themselves up against the wall, trying to get out of my way. And that, I get it, they're trying to help, but it actually makes me feel not normal and feel like a burden and feel bad. And if they just said, hi, Bob, it's me walking on your left, that would actually help me navigate the hall better. I wouldn't feel bad. I would feel normal. And I might have something I need to talk to you about related to work. And so when people hear that, I show that video clip sometimes in talks. And when they hear that, they go, oh, of course. Like, that makes so much sense. But we don't walk through the world, maybe, and experience the day-to-day with people who can't see or who can't hear or who are in a wheelchair, things like that. And we just need that kind of recognition. So it's first building that understanding of what other people go through. So there's that. And then you asked about speaking up. And there are so many ways to do that more productively. So if you witness a subtle act of exclusion and want to speak up, or if you experience it and you want to speak up, I mean, one thing you can do is first start with yourself. Just kind of recognize, what am I feeling? What's going on physically, emotionally? Am I in a space to have this conversation, right? That's important. If you do decide to speak out, then thinking about calling that person in, maybe first pausing the action, even if you don't know what you want to say yet, like, hey, hold on, or can we talk about this? Because a lot of times we try to analyze it in our heads and think of exactly what we're going to say and the perfect thing. And by the time we do, the moment's passed and it's too late and you just let it go. So just pause. Then assume good intent in the other person, right? I'm presuming you didn't mean anything bad by this, or you might not even know why this would make me feel this way. That helps inoculate against that defensiveness. Kind of asking people to explore it together. Hey, this just happened. Can we talk about it? Can we think about this together? That helps, rather than setting up an adversarial relationship. And then just explaining the impact that it had on you. Hey, when you said that, it made me feel invisible, or it made me feel not normal. So those are good strategies for starting the conversation.
And if I really like that, Michael, I have to interrupt you because it sounds like what I talk about as a relationship coach and psychologist, in terms of two people, when there is an issue, when there is a problem, that you do want to pause, assume good intent, explore it together, and then talk about the impact that that action or phrase had on you and using your I language.
Yes.
So really, we're talking about a relationship, and bringing a problem up in a relationship is very difficult, but yes, so important. And the other person may not even know the impact that that phrase or that action had on you.
Absolutely. I love that you draw that parallel, because I think about that a lot sometimes. It really is. It's all about the relationship and building that trust. And of course, you know, the person getting the feedback, they have a huge responsibility as well. And so for them, if someone speaks up and said, hey, when you said that, I know you didn't mean anything bad, but here's how it made me feel. They've got to first acknowledge that with some gratitude. What a gift that someone went out of their way to give you some feedback. I mean, we probably all, most of us, want to be better people. And when someone risks their own comfort to tell you a way you could do something better, what a gift that is. So just acknowledging that, thank you for speaking up, right? I'm glad you said something. And then really, you're going to probably, if you're human, if you're breathing, you're going to want to defend your intention, because you don't want to be thought of as a bad person. But instead of that, if you can focus on the impact it had for the other person, can you tell me more about this, right? Can you help me understand how this impacted you? And then really taking that feedback seriously, using the opportunity to grow, to go and do some self-reflection, to do some research, and growing the relationship, following up with the other person maybe the next day. Oh, I thought about what you said. I want to check back in with you. And those moments where someone speaks up to you, speaks up and gives you that feedback, if you don't take it seriously, you will build a bridge. If they were being vulnerable to share that with you and you don't take it, you're going to build a bridge. And if you do take it well, you're going to build trust and you're going to build authenticity. And so those moments are precious, and we have to take them as such.
And we do have to take those moments seriously. Mm-hmm. But I can just hear and see listeners right now, given what you said, Michael. Somebody tells me that I have done a subtle act of exclusion. I can see listeners' defensive response, mm-hmm, as you just mentioned. And so rewiring our approach, thinking about instead thinking of it as a gift, mm-hmm, is extremely challenging. Yes. Because we do want to become defensive. And especially in our culture and society right now, mm-hmm, someone's saying, you just said something that made me feel excluded. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get defensive. Any tips or strategies then, Michael, about how listeners can pause, as you, mm-hmm, said, mm-hmm, and begin to think about it as a gift, and instead of getting defensive, say, tell me more. Yeah. I want to hear more. I want to know more. I want to know why you feel this way. What did I say? Mm-hmm. Any tips or strategies?
Yeah, absolutely. So two things come to mind. First is thinking about this not as, okay, well, I as an individual, I've learned some tips and strategies, so I'm going to go out in the real world and try it with someone who's never even heard of, you know, these things. That's tough. But if we at an organization collectively get on the same page with, hey, these subtle acts of exclusion are happening, and we don't want that to happen here. So we're going to do this together, and we're going to learn about all these different strategies for all these different roles together and collectively address it. That helps, because then when you say, oh, I noticed you're being defensive, that other person's like, oh, yep, I remember we talked about that. You can really start to practice. And the other thing that comes to mind is that you really do need to practice this. We have this idea we should just be good at it already because we've gone through our whole lives having interactions. But if you're going to do it in a different way, you've got to build those muscles. You've got to practice. So one thing we suggest to people is, you know, I mentioned we built this e-learning program where sometimes you need to practice it in your own space on your own by going through scenarios, by thinking of what people in these different positions may feel if they experience the subtle act of exclusion, or if they said it, or if they witnessed it. Think about it. Practice some things you could say that would be productive. Just practice, practice, practice. So when it happens in the real world the next day, right, which it probably will because they're happening all the time, your first response isn't necessarily a bad one. You've practiced and you're ready to try it out in the real world.
And so what are some of those practice lines that you tell people when, let's say, they are speaking up because they've experienced a subtle act of exclusion? What are some of those phrases that you've been telling people?
Yeah, there's some of the simple ones. I mentioned a couple of them. Just, you know, can we pause? Or, you know, I don't even know yet why I'm feeling this, but can we talk about this? Or, you know, you might not even know why this would be make me feel bad, but can I share with you? Or, you know, can we explore this together? Or can you tell me what more about what you mean by that? Right? Things, they just simple phrases like that, or even something like, hey, hold on, like, hold on, you know, practice what feels natural to you if you want to pause the action. Hold on, or wait a minute. Just interrupting in any way is so helpful, because for so long, these have just gone under the radar, continue to happen. Sometimes we say them and we think, oh, maybe that wasn't great, but maybe no one will notice. And of course, everyone noticed, right? Or many people noticed. And so we've got to get in the practice of interrupting them in ways that feel natural to you. And, you know, we're under no delusions that this is simple. It's going to be kind of awkward and complicated, but we got to commit to doing it together, to fumbling and stumbling through it together.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's not going to be simple, but it's necessary. And so I can come back as well and approach the topic with somebody at work or in my community or my relationship, right? So it doesn't have to be at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of times people are so surprised, for example, that a boss or a professor may have said something in class that I don't have a good response at the moment. But it's okay, right, Michael, if I come back at another point in time and how I felt and what occurred and need to explore this with the person.
Oh, yeah. There's no one size fits all approach here. Absolutely. You know, every context is different. And sometimes it's not the right moment to speak up, and that's okay. And figuring out how to do it later, that's okay. And there's no even, you know, humans, you know this, humans are so complicated, mm-hmm. right? What might feel like a subtle act of exclusion to me one day, the next day doesn't feel like one. Or, you know, if one person says something to me, it feels fine because of the relationship that we have. But a different person says it to me and it feels like a subtle act of exclusion, right? Or someone else who's in my position, they may react totally different than me. I mean, it's such complicated stuff. And yet, if we really want to get to a place where people are really all valued, considered good, considered normal, if we really want to do it, we've got to look at the explicit stuff for sure and the subtle stuff that's happening.
And I think what you're suggesting as well, Michael, is that conversations about subtle acts of exclusion, whether it be at the collective level or the individual level, needs to occur. And we only have a few minutes left, Michael. If there's one message then that you would like listeners to take away from this program, what might it be?
I think the one message I want to give people is one of empowerment, that sometimes this feels so daunting, you know, especially the moment we're in, right? Where so many people are maybe opening their eyes for the first time to, you know, the huge systemic inequalities that have existed and the unconscious biases and these subtle acts of exclusion. And it all feels so huge and overwhelming. And the message I want to leave people with is it is a lot. It is heavy. And we can do this. We can be more intentional about creating equity through systems. We can be more intentional with creating inclusion rather than exclusion. We can do it, and it's worth it.
I like that message. And I'm all about empowering listeners. So I love that the message was to empower listeners that even though this may be daunting and difficult, you can do it. Yes. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Baron. Michael, I said Dr. Baron again. I apologize. Wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you. You too, Terry. I really enjoyed this conversation.
I did too. And you shared some very important information and advice. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Michael Barron, please go to subtleactsofexclusion.com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.